today on Commitment to Truth.
So I'm going to tell you that if you're afraid of coming to prayer meeting because they're going to make you pray out loud and you're going to be embarrassed, who cares? Because if God hadn't humbled me at that time, I would have kept on living a life of lousy prayer. But God had to teach me, but he had to humble me and put me in a place where I was ready. Because the power of the church is accessed through prayer.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Ken Jones, teaching pastor at Commitment Church, with today's message.
So you understand, as we go through this, and I'm going to talk today about the power of the church, it's the power of you. It's your power. So we're going to start here. First point is the power of the church is God. Kind of simple. The word power in the Greek is dunamis. It means ability, strength, force, authority, might, and it's where we get our English word for dynamite. To give you the kind of idea of that explosive power of God. Go to Ephesians, please, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, well, I'm going to read verses 17 to 21. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. The power of God, the surpassing greatness of his power. Keep that in mind. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him, the power, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. The power of God is in us. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, please. I want to point out something real quick. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is a time when the apostles got an opportunity to preach their first message. It's called Pentecost. And I know when I first started studying all this stuff a while back, I thought Pentecost was what they called the day that the church began. No, I was wrong, because Pentecost was a feast that the children of Israel celebrated 50 days after Passover. Penta 50. Okay. So that's why in the town, in the city of Jerusalem, there were people from all over the place, because this was one of three major feasts that the people all came to Jerusalem to celebrate. So Jerusalem's packed. God has a way of preparing people. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Now, I want to talk about this tongues of fire. Okay? Because there's a symbolism, if you will, of the fire. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 to 6 says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. Exodus 19:18. Now Mount Sinai was in all smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked violently. This was when Moses and the children of Israel had left Egypt, came across through the dry land of the Red Sea, and they hunkered on up and they came to Mount Sinai. Moses is ready to go up and get the Ten Commandments. And God came down to meet with Moses. And the people couldn't even touch the mountain because they would have died. And Moses, remember when Moses came down off the mountain? Guy glowed like a giant Christmas tree. They couldn't even look at his face because he was so bright, because he had been in the presence of God. Exodus chapter 40, verse 38. I didn't write that one down. Exodus 40, 38. Did you get it? Good, because I didn't write it down. I'm going to have to look it up. See, this is going to show you how fast I can get through here. This is a sword drill. You ready? Guess you guys don't know what a sword drill is. It's when you're a kid and you're standing there. And they say, okay, everybody get your swords out. And you get them up. Got to hold them by the back, see? And you say, all right, Exodus 40, 38. And you repeat, Exodus 40, 38. You say, charge. You get down, you look it up. The first one that gets it stands up to read it and gets a piece of candy. I forgot the candy. I had Exodus 40. That's why, because it's the wrong verse. Anyhow, I'm not going to bother. Look, let me put it to you this way, man. When Solomon built his temple, it was considered the greatest temple that the children of Israel ever had. And when he completed the temple, he had a dedication service. And at the end of the dedication service, he prayed. And when he said amen, fire came down from heaven and filled the tabernacle. And you remember that the children of Israel wandering around in circles, they were led by a pillar of fire at night. See, I believe that God was trying to help these fellas understand, while they're standing there at Pentecost in front of these hundreds and thousands of people proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, that God was with them. God was beginning this church. Because this is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And God wanted to make sure that all them people there knew that this was the power of God on these men. Because what did they do? I mean, they stood there going, how in the world are these fishermen speaking my language? These uneducated Galileans. And yet here they are speaking my language. How can they do that? Only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. So, we have this power of God. How does it manifest itself within us? Through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I know, I didn't write any of these down. I'm going in a different direction because I'm trying to move quick. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 is when Jesus was going back up to heaven and the apostles are all standing around him. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. The power of God that comes into each believer through the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to speak different kinds of languages, as we saw there, as I talked about a little bit just a minute ago. Now, what makes this Holy Spirit thing kind of interesting is when you read the book of Acts, which the book of Acts is the beginning of the church, right? We all understand that. The early church all started at Pentecost on that day when they started preaching, and 3,000 souls were added. And each time these guys got up and spoke, the Holy Spirit moved, and more people believed. But I heard said, the pastor mentioned, to me, and we were talking. The book of Acts actually should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, because the Holy Spirit is mentioned 52 times in the book of Acts to help us understand that it wasn't the work of man. It's a work of God. Acts 16:6. A couple of examples of the Holy Spirit's work in the book of Acts. Acts 16:6, talking about Paul, said they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Paul, on his first missionary journey, had this thought process in his mind that he was going to go himself into Asia and preach the word into Asia, and the Holy Spirit stopped him. Holy Spirit stopped him, it doesn't say. Doesn't say he threw up a stop sign or put up a fence or came down in a cloud, but he stopped him. A work of the Holy Spirit that Paul recognized that not where God wanted him to go. Acts chapter 8, it's one of my favorite stories. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read 39 to 40, but before I get there, this is about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's kind of interesting how Philip is in Samaria, and he's over there preaching the word, and God says to him, I need you to go down to this road and go run next to this chariot. Because this Ethiopian eunuch has just heard the word of God, and he's reading something in Isaiah, and he doesn't know what he's reading. So I need you to go down there and go run next to his chariot and tell him what he's reading while you're running. So he does. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, do you have any idea what this means? And Philip says, sure, let me share this with you. And he jumps up in the chariot, and Philip shares the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. And then they stop and jump into the water, and he baptizes them. And here's the fun part. Verse 39 says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Azotus is 30 miles away from where he was dipping that poor Ethiopian eunuch in the water. Now, that to me recalls a verse where Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could move that mountain. Say to that mountain, move, and it's going to move. And obviously, Philip had himself some faith, because he moved 30 miles worth. It's just amazing. But what I'm trying to get through to you here, and what I really want you to see, is that that power that was exercised in Philip that moved him instantaneously 30 miles is in you. That's the power of God. And you've got it. I've got it. Now I'm just having fun here. All right, I want to show a couple of things with you real quick, and I want to move on. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. When you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, you are separated for service for him. And him alone. And your job becomes your place to witness for Jesus Christ. Not a place where you just make money and bring it home. But every breath you take, every step you take, belongs to him. Because he separated you from the life of sin that you were in and brought you into his holiness. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So what else does the Spirit do for us? Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I guarantee you we don't know how to pray. I being old, I always like to tell stories that old people do. When I first got my act together and gave myself completely to God, I had the opportunity to be an usher in a Baptist church. And of course, when it's time for the collection, the ushers come up with the plates, and they play the song, and you hand out the plates. And of course, the song leader always asks one of the ushers to pray for the offering before the offering is taken. So I always made sure I was on the outside so that I wouldn't get asked to pray. Well, that didn't work. And the song leader says, Ken, would you please pray for the offering? I have absolutely no idea what I said. But I do know that after the service, the song leader came up to me and apologized for asking me to pray and promised to never do it again. So I'm going to tell you that if you're afraid of coming to prayer meeting because they're going to make you pray out loud and you're going to be embarrassed, who cares? Because if God hadn't humbled me at that time, I would have kept on living a life of lousy prayer. But God had to teach me, but he had to humble me first and put me in a place where I was ready to learn. John 16, verses 13 and 14. Says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But he, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. It's important to understand that when you pick up the Bible and start to read it, and most of the time, most of us don't bother to read it because we don't understand what we're reading anyhow, especially if you're reading King Jimmy. And you get struggled with these and thous and those and all the rest of those things. But I'm here to tell you that's okay. Just ask the Holy Spirit to do it for you. That's his job. We had a group come in that did a training session for us. And in the training session, we're going through the book of Jonah. And the fellow says, the first thing you want to do is, when you pick up your Bible to read it, is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what he wants you to learn while you read. Now, this should not be a revelation to someone who's been in church for 55 years. And yet I realized I don't do that. When I do my devotions in the morning, I'll pick up my devotional or my Bible app or whatever I happen to be doing devotions in, and I'll pick it up and I'll just start reading. When I get done, I pray. But I don't pray before to ask the Holy Spirit to help me figure out what it is he wants me to know today. But that's what he does. But you know what? If you don't ask, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to that right now. Because the power of the church is accessed through prayer. The word prayer comes from the word meaning to approach, come near, visit, or worship. To have conversation with. What's conversation? Just you talking? I think we do that sometimes when we pray to God. We do all the talking. But if we ain't picking this thing up, we're not hearing him talk back. Now, I do not want to discount folks who God talks to in dreams. You may have heard an audible voice of God telling you to do one thing or another. He doesn't do that to me, but that's cool. I don't believe that it doesn't happen, so don't misunderstand me. But if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it's not the Spirit of God that's talking to you. And if you're not reading the Word of God and understanding who God is, how are you going to know who's talking to you? We need to be in the Word. We need to learn who he is. And I promise you that Sunday morning, for however long it is I'm going to be up here talking, is not enough. It just isn't. We need to be in the Word. There's a lot in here, folks. I'm telling you, for all the years that I've been studying the Word of God, I learned something new every time. And I could read the same portion of Scripture time after time after time. And every time I read it, something else pops out. It's just how God works. But you got to get in it to learn it. And I encourage you to pick it up. Luke 6:12 says it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. He's talking about Jesus. I would love to have been the fly on the wall to hear Jesus pray. Can you imagine what that was like? He spent all night talking to his Father. And shucks, if he's praying that much, what's wrong with me? He was God. Shucks. I mean, he already had it all, right? He's the Word. He already knows it. And yet he still spent all this time praying to his Father. When was the last time you sat and prayed all night? When was the last time you sat and prayed for an hour? A lot of us don't. I don't. Look, I got to tell you something. If Pastor C was up here right now preaching this message, I'd be on my knees. Because I've never been more convicted when putting together a sermon as I was putting this one together. Because God was revealing to me my weakness. And I quite frankly think it's the weakness in a lot of us. Because we don't emphasize prayer. Most of us do minute prayers. Usually when I'm driving, God help me not to punch this guy in the nose. But we don't get down and dirty in our prayer life. It's a scary place to go. But you know what? Our life is down and dirty. And God wants to meet us there. Matthew 6:9-13 is the Lord's Prayer. He gave us a format, if you will, of how to put together a prayer. I'll encourage you to read it, and I'm not going to read it. But I would encourage you to go a few verses before the Lord's Prayer and a few verses after the Lord's Prayer, because he gives you some don'ts as well as some do's. So I encourage you, get out the book and read Matthew chapter 6. But I want to go to James. Chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7 says, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." A few years back, there was a young lady in our church, and her and I were having a conversation about our experience going through cancer and cancer treatments. And I remember telling her that I firmly believe that God could remove the cancer out of my body. Bang, gone. I know it for a fact. I just don't believe he's going to do that with me. And she said to me, "No, I feel exactly the same way." A year later, she died. I didn't. But boy, I look back on that and say, man, that was probably the worst possible thing I could have said to that lady. Because that's a prayer without faith. And it certainly made me change my mind on how I get down on my knees and pray to God for things to happen. Because if he can do it, he will. Who am I to think I'm anybody? I thought I was doing something good, but I'm just a nobody, I'm a nothing. Why would God bother to heal me? I'm not worth that. But then he had to remind me that he died for me. And he shed his son to shed his blood on the cross for me. What makes me think I'm not worthy? Who in the world do I think I am, anyhow? But we need to ask in faith. I had to laugh because Pastor kind of preached part of my sermon. It's wonderful. I love the way he does that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we in this church, look, we got something special here. And I think you all know it. Because there are not too many churches around here that's welcoming in everybody, that purposely has a purpose for being a place where all nations, tribes, and tongues can come together. And we bring in the people from the north, south, east, and west. We want them all here to be under the word of God because we are all the same in God's eyes. And this is what heaven's going to look like. We'll be all going to be standing together. We're all going to know how to sing, which is pretty cool. But this message that we have here that was put on the hearts of people that started this place for such a time as this. And that message needs to get out. And it's getting out because look how we're growing. But do we need a larger facility? Like Pastor said, they're building next door. Now you're going to be parking out in front of my house. Any of you that have been upstairs at a Sunday school class, did you see how small they are? That's if you can get up the steps. And Lordy, if you got to get up to the pastor's office, better bring an oxygen tank. So we pray for a bigger building. But hey, I've been looking. And I go out and I look at some of these bigger buildings and they're $3 million, $4 million, $15 million. Shucks, we don't have that kind of money. How in the world are we going to enter into something like that? Yeah, thank you. Because that's what I don't do. I pray for it. Trust me. I've been praying for years for God would provide for us a larger space where we can do more and have more and be more efficient in what we now we do things. But Lordy, I haven't done it in faith. And I think that's where we were missing the point here. Believe it, folks. God's going to provide just like he did that fire hall, which didn't cost us a penny. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. It's another problem we have with prayer. It says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Or you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. I want a new truck. I don't need one. I just want one. But if I pray to God and say, give me a new truck, that's because I want it for me. Not because I want it for him. The truck I got's just fine. That's that contentment thing that Paul preaches about constantly. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The things that we're praying for need to be the things that are going to enhance the gospel of Jesus Christ. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He must call the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Notice that's put together. Confess your sins to one another and pray. They go together. If I come to you and tell you the stupid things that I've done, I hope you're going to pray for me so that God will work on them things and fix me and make me more like Christ. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And one of the wonderful things I love about this church, because we are a house of prayer, we have seen him accomplish much. And for those of you that have been here a long time, or look at the pictures that are on the wall back there, what this place was when they first started. to what it is today. Because God is at work in this place. So what I want to tell you, as a believer, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit is God. Do you understand that? We look at Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we have a tendency to separate them out as different entities. They are God. So the God that's in heaven, and the Jesus who died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit that resides in you, are identical. And I think when we come to realize that power that we have, the only reason why it doesn't manifest itself is because we're not right. And we need to take care of that. And then we need to believe it. Let me give you an example. I'm going to end with this. A lot of years ago, my wife and I attended a seminar over in Philly, Principles of Life Institute or something like that it was called. But the guy said something that really stuck with me. And he said, in those moments that you're tempted to sin, pray for someone you know that Satan would hate to lose and pray for their salvation. And I thought, that's an idea. Because first of all, it's going to take your mind off of the temptation that you were allowing yourself to rumble into. And it'll put your mind back on God and allow him to do the work. So I thought, okay, that's cool. I'm going to try this one out, see how it works. So I'm going to test God. So I did. 9 months later, a young fellow named George Clark trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Now, my buddy George is a Marine, because there's no such thing as a Marine. Volunteered to go to Vietnam 3 times because he just loved killing. When him and I would go into a bar together, I'm sorry, I used to do that. He would find the biggest guy in the bar, take him outside and beat him up so that he could prove to everybody he was the toughest guy in the bar. That was George. I figured, ain't no way. This man is going to be able to humble himself and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And God said, watch. And I actually got to baptize him. And he became a children's worker in our church for 5th and 6th graders. We originally had him as a greeter, but we had to pull him away because when he shook your hand, you pulled back a bloody stub. And people were finding different entrances to get in the church because they didn't shake George's hand. So we put him with the kids. And to this day, George is a firm, solid believer in Jesus Christ. Because I tested God. And he proved himself faithful. But then I had to turn around and ask myself, so who am I praying for now? Yeah. You're right there, Steve. And that's what we all need to be doing. You all know somebody that needs Christ in their life. I'm sure right now you've got your mind is gone to that person that you're thinking about. So I'm going to tell you, test them. Start praying. I'm sure when those apostles stood up in front of them people, they had no idea that they were going to speak in a language they'd never know, and that thousands of people were going to trust Christ. But it happened. And it can happen right here, today, if we just trust the power of the church, us, that's been inside of us, because God is here. The kingdom of God is here. Let's bring it on.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega. and I am the Administrative and Executive Director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Cedric with Commitment Church with another Weekly Wire. Have you ever toured the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum? I know I have, and the first time I walked through there, it was amazing. Matter of fact, it was remarkable, and it was something unbelievable to my eyes that all of these claims of these amazing feats and these amazing looking people and things were truly real. That's kind of like our lives, right? That we, as we look around us, it's kind of amazing to think, good or bad, that these things are happening to us. But the scriptures gives us hope, and the scripture says to you and I that God is doing a work in your life that is unbelievable, that is yet unseen, yet unspoken of by man. And this work is amazing, and this work is indescribable. This work is incomprehensible. So the next time you go through that season in your life and you're feeling down and you're feeling defeated, always understand that behind the scenes, behind the veil, there is a work that God is doing in your day that no one has ever heard of, no one has ever spoken of it. And hopefully that would encourage you to continue to hold on, continue to press on, and continue to follow Him as He continues to complete the work that He has begun in your life. The scriptures also promise to you and I that eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor entered into the thoughts of man what He has in store for us. Now, my imagination can be pretty wild and pretty broad, and that always amazes me that God's mind, God's thoughts, God's imagination for me is way beyond anything I can even think or imagine. The same is true for you. No matter where you are in your thoughts about yourself, your imagination is about yourself. God is thinking more highly of you than you are even yourself. Isn't that awesome? So the next time again, you're feeling down, you're feeling defeated, always know that He is thinking more highly of you than you maybe even are thinking of yourself. But also remember this, the work He has begun in you, He is faithful to complete it until the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. So today, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's hope for you. If you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, just pause right now and ask Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior. And that work, that amazing work, is going to begin to happen in your life instantaneously, and He will not stop working in you and through you until you see Him face to face.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.